Good evening, everyone. In a few short minutes, we're going to begin the recitation of Slichos, which kicks off the next stage in our preparation for the Yomim Noraim, for Rosh Hashanah and for Yom Kippur. The minhag to recite Slichos is recorded in the Tur in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Aleph. And the Tur, really earlier, the Ran on Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, in the Dapei Arif, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, record several minhagim as to when Slichos should actually be recited, when one should commence the recitation of Slichos. There was one view in the Ran that Slichos should be recited during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and exclusively during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. From the Tur, one gets the impression that this was the minhag of some of the Gaonim. They would specifically recite Slichos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Others, the Ran records, would begin the recitation of Slichos already from Rosh Chodesh Elul. We know that is the minhag of Svaradim Ada Yom Hazeh. It's Paskin by the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Tavka Pei Aleph. Svaradim recite Slichos for the entire Chodesh Elul. Parenthetically, I will note that is usually my response when Svaradim make fun of me for the fact that I can't eat kidneys. If you want to wake up at 5 a.m. for an entire month, you can enjoy your beans for 7 days too. But that is indeed the minhag of Svaradim. And there's a third minhag that's quoted, the minhag of Barcelona, to begin the recitation of Slichos on the 25th of Elul. Why that date? Both Rosh Chodesh Elul and the 25th of Elul have significance in the history of Klal Yisrael and the history of the world. Rosh Chodesh Elul, the minhag of Svaradim, was when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. And Chavhei Elul is the day when the creation of the world began. As much as on Rosh Hashanah, we declare Hayom Haras Olam, today is the world's birthday. That, according to this view, refers to actually the creation of man, the completion of the world. But the process of creation actually began 6 days earlier. It began on Chaf Hei Elul, and that is the third minhag regarding when one should commence the recitation of Slichos. Now, of course, none of those views really accord with what we do nowadays. The closest one is the view that we start on Chaf Hei Elul. Indeed, this year we are starting on Chaf Hei Elul. But we also know that our recitation of Slichos is directly linked to Motzai Shabbos. We always try to make sure that we are starting on a Motzai Shabbos. If there aren't enough days, there's a requirement to have 4 days of Slichos before Rosh Hashanah. Why that is subject to an interesting discussion as well. But if there aren't enough days, then we move forward to the previous Motzai Shabbos. We always have to start after Shabbos is over. And the source for this is a Leket Yosher that says we seek to start Slichos after Shabbos because Shabbos is a day of simcha, because Shabbos is a day of joy. References Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Amud Beis that Hashem is Shoresh Shechina lo mitoch atzvos velo mitoch atzlos, not through sadness, not through laziness, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalos rosh, not through frivolous banter, but Hashem is only, Gemara concludes, elo mitoch tvar simcha shel mitzvah. Hashem is only Shoresh Shechina so through the simcha of doing a mitzvah. And so the Leket Yosher says, after Shabbos, when everybody is in a state of joyous celebration, after that we commence directly into Slichos. And that is the source of our practice. Now, the obvious question to many, certainly to me, is that the whole notion that we should recite Slichos, we should begin Slichos on Motzai Shabbos because of the simcha, the joy, the celebration of Shabbos, is rather dissonant from the tone of Slichos that we properly observe. If you go to Sfaradi Slichos, maybe that would be appropriate. Sfaradi Slichos are like a rock concert. It's very fun, it's very exciting. That's why they enjoy it for the entire month of Elul. I had many Talmidim in the past who would never open up a sitter but loved the recitation of Slichos. But certainly the character of Ashkenazi Slichos is a little more somber. It takes on a different character and a different tone. And one would not characterize it as joyous, as festive. It doesn't seem to be something that's a natural outgrowth of the joy and festivity and celebration of Shabbos. So why does the Leket Yosher suggest that Slichos should begin in a state of joy? So I'd like to offer an answer by way of analogy. I try my best to sit down with every one of our couples here in B'nai Shurin. Thank you, Jonah. To sit down with every one of our couples before a chasana. Whenever there's a wedding invitation, I always offer. I never put pressure. I know there's a million things to do before a wedding, but I always say, if you want, I'll say to the chasana kala, if you're ever around Teaneck and you have a free moment, I'd love to sit down together. And we talk about a lot of different things at that meeting. One of the things we talk about is Yom Chasun Asan, the day of the chuppah, and what makes the day of the wedding really so special on an experiential level, on a religious level, and on an emotional level as well. And one of the things that I point out is that when we tend to think of a wedding, we think of a wedding as a happy occasion, and it unquestionably is. That is the core of a wedding celebration. Simchas chasam dekala, happiness, joy, festivity, and celebration. But what makes Yom Chasunasam, what makes the day of the Chuppah so special, is that it is not just a happy day. There are many happy days over the course of one's life, over the course of the regular cadences of the calendar. But it's so much more than that as well. It's a day that's happy, but it's simultaneously a day that is somber. It's a very serious day. It's the most serious day for most of our lives, the most important decision that we make in our lives that really sets the trajectory and course for the rest of our lives. That's reflected in the way we celebrate Chasana, certainly here in America, whereby there's much celebrating, singing, dancing, but it's preceded by a chuppah that tends to feature slower music. It's more of a somber tone. In Eretz Yisrael, the chuppah is also a very festive experience, but there's something to be said for the minhag in Chutz La'aretz, whereby there's a somber component as well. It's a very optimistic and forward-looking day as you look forward to building a new life together, but it is simultaneously a nostalgic day in which you look backwards at the road that took you there. Certainly for parents of a chasan and kala, it's a nostalgic day when you think about the road that led to that particular moment. And it is those disparate themes that are all occurring simultaneously that lend the experience its power. It is much more than just a happy day. And it is that mixture of different emotional experiences that speak to different, again, spiritual themes of the day that make it so incredibly powerful. And unsurprisingly, the day of the Chuppah is compared to Yamim Noraim. It is compared to Yom Kippur. It's a parallel that runs in several directions. On the one hand, the wedding is comparable to Yom Kippur. Many of the minhagim that we have over the course of a wedding are intended to highlight that parallel. The minhag of Ashkenazim for the chasan and kala to fast on the day of a wedding is based on the parallel to Yom HaKippurim. A chasan and kala will recite the vidui of Erev Yom Kippur in the mincha before their wedding. So again, you have these constructs that highlight how a wedding is parallel to Yom Kippur. And in some ways, on the flip side, Yom Kippur is compared to a wedding day. I referenced very quickly earlier in the shir between Mincha and Maariv the fact that the Rambam's description of Ahavas Hashem, the love for Hashem that we are supposed to experience, appears deliberately at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. After we go through that process of Tshuva, we experience true love for Hashem. And the Rambam says that the best metaphor for the love of Hashem is the love, the Ahava of a young Chasan and Kala, the love that they experience for each other, the way they're infatuated by and with each other. That is the Ahava that we seek to have for Hashem in this process of Teshuvah. And therefore, conceptually, you do have these disparate themes. You have joy, the joy of Shabbos, that leads directly into the somber tone of Slichos. It expresses itself in other components of the Yamim Noraim as well. Rav Rosenzweig today spoke about the many themes of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is on the one hand a happy day, it's a Yom Tov, it's a day in which we have festive Yom Tov meals, we have our apple and honey, it is a Yom Tov in many of the traditional senses. At the same time, it is a day of judgment, it's a serious day. Many would fast, the Gaonim would fast on Rosh Hashanah, they would recite Slichos. We know that we ourselves go through judgment on the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And to me, experientially, those disparate themes are evident in our experience of the Yamim Noraim. Earlier this week, or last week at this point, I was speaking to the Mesilas Yesharim Chabura about the ways in which these different themes of the Yamim Noraim are felt by me personally, the way I experience these themes of the Yamim Noraim. And I noted that to me, one of the highlights of the Yamim Noraim davening, and I think it's a highlight for many others as well, is the really remarkable and in some ways, at face value, dissonant transition between Unisana Tokef to Ein Kitzvah. Unisana Tokef is in many ways the most serious, somber part of the davening. We reflect upon all that hangs in the balance, all that's on the line, the experience of trembling before Hashem in judgment. And we transition immediately into this rousing tune in which we celebrate Hashem's greatness and our ability to connect with Him. It's something that we take for granted because we experience it every year. But when you stop to think about it, there is a dissonance there. There are two very different parts of the davening that reflect very different themes of the davening. But the fact that they are juxtaposed to each other reflects that both of these themes are critical to the experience of the Yamim Noraim. We experience the fear and trepidation, the year of Afacha that my Rebbe was speaking about earlier today, in judgment that's expressed through Unisana Tokef, but it leads immediately to a kind of Ahavas Hashem, to a deep love, energy, and excitement in our connection to Him. And I think, to me, that is what lends this period of the year its true power. One of the questions that I ask bar mitzvah boys or bat mitzvah girls when I sit down with them is, what is your favorite Jewish holiday? The number one answer from 13-year-olds, from 12-year-olds is Hanukkah, because of the presents. That's the answer that I always receive. But if I were in that chair and somebody asked me what is my favorite Yom Tov, I would probably choose the Yomim Noraim. It's an unfair answer. I don't think favorite is really the best word. Favorite doesn't really capture it. And the Yomim Noraim is not one holiday. It's technically maybe two. It's the entire experience of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. But if you ask me when I feel most connected, when I feel my relationship with Hashem most acutely, when I feel it in a real visceral and experiential way, it is the Yomim Noraim. And that's not just an experience of joy, and it's not just an experience of sadness. It's the entire mixture of emotions that goes into that relationship with Hashem that's really channeled and funneled into this microcosm of our broader relationship that we experience over the course of these 10 days. As we begin the recitation of Slichos, let us strive to make sure that we achieve this entire gamut of our religious emotional lives and the religious emotional experience. We will have sadness over the sins that we've committed, over the mistakes that we've made in the past, and also happiness at the prospect of cleansing those sins, at renewing the relationship and starting afresh and anew. There is shame at the failures, at the moments that we could have and should have been better, but there's also pride in the fact that we are still Hashem's chosen nation, and despite all those failures, we maintain our unique relationship with Him. It is a backwards-looking time as we engage in self-examination over the course of this past year. We ask ourselves what we could have done better, where we've fallen short, where we need to improve. But it is also forward-looking, optimistically forward-looking, when we look forward to achieving that better future over the course of the year to come. There is fear and there's awe as we approach the days of judgment and think about all that hangs in the balance. But there's also deep love for the judge, who is also our Father in heaven. Over the course of tonight and the days ahead, let us embrace that entire gamut, again, of our emotional religious experience. May we be zocha to utilize it to propel us forward in our service of Hashem over the course of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva and, of course, over the course of the year to come.